Financial reform is about to be the law of the land.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good day to you. From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. With the stroke of a pen, or several pens, President Obama will, in mere minutes, sign into law the most strident Wall Street reforms since the Great Depression.
The financial industry is central to our nation's ability to grow, to prosper, to compete, and to innovate. There are a lot of banks that understand and fulfill this vital role. And there are a whole lot of bankers out there who want to do right and do right by their customers. This reform will help foster innovation, not hamper.
The law assembles a powerful council of regulators to be on the lookout for risks across the financial system. It looks out for consumers as well. Morris Davis is former Fed economist. He's now economics professor at the University of Wisconsin. He's live with us from Madison. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
What will the new face of the Fed look like now that financial reform is about to be law? I mean, you know, is the Fed up to it?
Well, the Fed is going to be asked to monitor risk. And the bottom line is that the Fed simply is not up to the task. And I say this because there's three reasons. The most important reason is that we do not understand what risk is. And the reason I say this is we had arguably the two top economists in the country, Greenspan and Bernanke, say something like the subprime crisis is well contained just 2 years before the subprime crisis fell into the financial crisis. The other two reasons that are pretty compelling is that big regulated banks, they fail all the time in other countries. So Europe recently and Japan in the 90s. And finally, we don't have very good experience thinking about systemic risk and regulating financial firms. And our recent experience with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac is just an example that proves this point. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were regulated. They wound up, in economics words, capturing their regulator. And ultimately, they cost U.S. taxpayers $400 billion.
Why don't we know risk? Why are we having trouble with that word and what it means?
Well, who knew that a few subprime mortgages were going to spill over to credit default swaps and Lehman Brothers, which would spill over to AIG, which would then spill over to every financial firm in the country? I guess the idea is that what appear to be small bets across a wide variety of institutions and objects actually are one big concentrated bet. And so figuring out that link between sequences of small bets and one big bet, we just don't know how to do that.
All right. Well, we do thank you. Economics Professor Morris Davis joining us from the University of Wisconsin. Thank you, Professor.
Thanks very much, Steve.
All right. Well, financial reform is a done deal or about to be a done deal here in the United States. It doesn't include a tax on banker pay. The law in Britain, though, does. Who's paying those taxes? From London, here's Christopher Worth.
U.S. banks with operations in the U.K. have already forked out about $2 billion in taxes aimed at limiting excessive pay. That's more than half the government has raised so far and is weighing on banks' earnings. Goldman Sachs just announced it's paying $600 million to the British government. Justin Urquhart Stewart is with Seven Investment Management.
The U.S. banks are actually the ones who are involved most in the investment banking side. There are relatively few in comparison of the British banks. So what you were seeing was the Americans looking at them, they were being significantly disadvantaged, but it wasn't by way of nation, it was by way of the nature of their business.
The tax is meant to be a one-time event, but Urquhart Stewart says that with tougher regulations being introduced in the U.S., with the reform of Wall Street, he expects the British government to consider making some form of the tax permanent. And for a British government starved of cash, having that extra money certainly wouldn't hurt. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Let's check numbers. Markets are down right now. The S&P off about 0.2%. The NASDAQ down now by 0.5%. The Dow pretty much flat, off about 9 points at 10,221. European and Asian shares were higher today. Yahoo reported disappointing results for the quarter today. Coca-Cola reported higher than expected profits. Investment bank Morgan Stanley made nearly $1.6 billion in profits during the last 3 months. And Morgan's report, much better than Wall Street had expected.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by LendingTree.com, tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
British oil giant BP is paying an enormous amount of money to clean up and compensate those affected by the disaster, the oil gusher in the Gulf of Mexico. It's now looking for ways to pay and find that money to pay those costs by selling some assets. The BBC's Rebecca Singer is with us from London with the latest. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning.
So what has BP sold?
Well, they've agreed to sell a range of oil and gas fields in Texas, southwest New Mexico, western Canada, and even Egypt. Now, they're selling them to a company, a US company called Apache. And they've been referred to as mature fields. Basically, BP reckons they're past their peak. But actually, Apache is well known for buying up these types of fields and boosting their production.
And how valuable, Rebecca, were these fields, I mean, these assets to BP's future growth?
Well, by no means are these core assets, and they don't represent, their sale doesn't represent a major restructuring of the company in any way. And even $10 billion isn't a huge amount for BP. But Robert Talbot, who's the chief investment officer at Royal London Asset Management, now they're one of BP's major shareholders, he admitted that this was a forced sale to some extent, and because of the Gulf of Mexico spill, BP wouldn't have got the best price.
Their negotiating position was probably a lot less strong than it would have been 6 months ago. It wasn't a great hand to play, actually. But I think the price is reasonable, but it's not as good as you might have expected.
Now, some analysts have been surprised at how quickly they've done this sale, although they did announce it a couple of weeks ago. But they do still need government and regulatory approvals before they can be completed.
The BBC's Rebecca Singer reporting from London for Marketplace. Rebecca, thanks.
You're welcome.
And finally, you really can't blame Cleveland Cavalier fans for being a little bitter. Their star basketball player, LeBron James, packed up and left for Miami. Now former fans are purging LeBron's number 23 jerseys and T-shirts. A restaurant chain's offering to donate those things to a homeless shelter in Florida. One former fan says it's like any breakup. You just want to get rid of the memories. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.